Okay, Cap Figure Podcast, episode 12. Mike Francesa, thank you for joining for the third time. I hope you're comfortable. Is everything all right?
The studio is 100 or 250 degrees. All right. Maybe 250 degrees. It's gotten intensely hot as the show has continued. Intensely
hot. Thank you for coming again after all of our mishaps. We just started. I mean, it's not that hot in here. I think I'm all right. Why don't you take off that plaid sweater?
I gather this is some form of torture today that we're under here to see if we can make it through the entire show.
No. We were just going to interview you for 5 minutes and then you leave. You had us agree to, your people said. 5 minutes, he's out. He's not looking anybody in the eye, not talking. I don't understand what you thought.
So I can't talk to the callers and I can't talk to... And I can't play commercials, and I can't play a taped interview, and I can't have a guest. But I can come in here and talk to you by myself.
I'm not sure what you thought about playing commercials. This is our show. You are our guest. Okay, and he just left again. Bye, Mike. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself. Try and you succeed. Okay, so Mike, you are the best, but you're sure a hard interview. He came in here, Tom, expecting to play commercials and have guests. He's our guest. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Yeah, he's a habitual line stepper.
So Cap Figure Podcast, episode 12. The playoffs are about to happen. The Mets are a game and a half up. Baseball is the shizzle.
Baseball.
They even made a little bracket like that changes every day if the playoffs were today. And it's very exciting. Baseball is the only sport where every round has its own logo. You know, you better step it up, hockey.
Hockey.
So my genius, you know, show prepping, I thought it would be fun if we each took, like, you know, we used to do this at ESPN Radio. Max Kellerman would often go position by position, like for the Super Bowl or whatever, and see how many spots are better at the other. You know, that more clearly helps you see who's a better team in a one-on-one matchup, especially in football where a lot of them are directly against each other. But still, it serves some purpose, hopefully. So we're going to explore. Tom did the AL, I did the NL. We won at each position, you know, and seeing which team has the most of, like, the best players. And then we also did the worst, like, which team, if the playoffs started today, of the five playoff teams in each league, position by position, like, which team has the worst catcher? Who is it? Which team has the worst second base? And the best also. So, any general thoughts on your experience doing this assignment before we start?
Yeah, I mean, it was a insightful kind of exercise. I think the first thing that definitely stuck out to me, which I have been thinking all along, but to actually put it into perspective, the pitching in the AL is just really, it's atrocious from top to bottom, starting pitching. I mean, when I put together my teams...
Well, let's just start there. Yeah. We're going to start with the good team. All right, so we said we'll do two starters, a closer, and a setup. Who's the best ace of the playoff team? Well, who are the five playoff teams today, we should say?
So, yeah, it's the Blue Jays, the Indians, and then the Rangers. Those are the three division leaders. And if the season ended today, it would be the Orioles and the Blue Jays playing the one-game playoff.
And those are the only two spots up for grabs. The three division winners are clinched. And so, okay.
Yeah.
So who's your AC?
So the number one ace I have available of those five teams is Corey Kluber, who, you know, 3.14 ERA, 3.25 FIP in the AL. That's, you know, that is actually rather impressive. You know, the AL, you have the DH, they're harder lineups, but I guess the first thing that comes to mind for me when I think about that and these nice statistics, I think that whatever the starters are from the NL will just blow away the AL.
Yeah. But it's mostly the, but That is true, but in my mind, this exercise wasn't to see whose team ends up being better. It's to see which playoff team has the most best at their position, right?
Right.
So who is your number two best starter? And for people listening, this can't be another ace. We said that as best we can predict, it's ace is against all the other four teams' aces and number two against the other four teams' number twos, because that's how it might end up in a series until one day when managers get smart and make their ace pitch game two.
Right. So my number two starter, and I mean, there's going to be an obvious question, should this guy be the game one starter? But, you know, I'm going to make the assumption that David Price is the number two starter for the Red Sox. So he's my number two.
After Porcello?
Yeah, I would say that Porcello, I mean, if you look at his stats across the board, I mean, he is probably the front runner for Cy Young right now.
If it were Porcello, like say David Price, is there a number one pitcher?
Right.
Would you take Porcello in the second? So either way,
definitely.
Red Sox win this slot either way?
Yep.
Okay. And so I guess quickly, who's your closer and setup guy or any bullpen, you know, closer and then any other bullpen?
Just one other point on the number two starter. I will make the comment that if he is healthy, Yu Darvish, I think is kind of a given in the number two spot, just because I think the way that he pitches like loans itself well to playoff baseball. So that would be the Rangers, but we can't just assume he's going to be healthy.
Right.
So then moving on to the bullpen, my closer, I picked Andrew Miller. So again, the Indians, they have the number one starter, and then the closer, I mean, he just has ridiculous statistics, 14.88 strikeouts per nine inning, 1.23 xFIP, and the most impressive statistic to me was 95.6% of runners left on base. So,
but that's just luck. Who's the setup guy? We got a lot of players to name.
And that he beat out actually Zach Britton.
Okay.
Which is
You were trying to get me to understand could be Cy Young.
Yeah.
Not that you would vote for him, but whatever. That is why has Zach Britton been less good down the stretch, or Andrew Miller's just this awesome?
I mean, I think that if you look at the statistical, like ERA, I think, you know, Britton's obviously ahead, but that left on base percentage to me, I mean, Britton was much further down, and his strikeouts per nine are, you know, further down. I think Andrew Miller really is just a better pitcher. He has two really good pitches as opposed to just Britton, who has like a Rivera, whatever. But so my setup man was Brad Brock from the Baltimore Orioles.
Who the hell is that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's the eighth inning guy, 1.64 ERA, 10.33 Ks per nine. He's just been very consistent.
All right, so now let's go around the diamond. Tell me, starting at first base, go first, second, short, third, catcher.
The best player?
Yeah. You do your whole best team, then my whole best team.
I guess I'll just throw out the names in the infield, and then we can react.
Yeah, and
from
then
there.
I'll ask you about interesting ones, yeah.
So, sure. Catcher, Jonathan Lucroy from the Indians.
You mean the Rangers.
Oh, sorry, the Rangers, wow. Yeah, too early, huh? Hanley Ramirez from the Red Sox at first base.
Oh, wow, I guess, okay, go on.
Second base, Dustin Pedroia from the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Shortstop, Manny Machado from the Orioles, and third base, Josh Donaldson from the
Blue
Jays.
Oh, that's a little cute. How many games has Manny Machado played at shortstop?
He actually has played quite a few.
I'm looking it up, but go on. So, who's your DH? Did you pick one?
My DH is Edwin Encarnacion.
Yeah, not David Ortiz?
I mean, yeah, that was obviously the, you know, the big toss-up. I don't know. I just like Encarnacion, his approach in the playoffs.
Again, this is the first time you're explaining this.
I mean, yeah, that was more of just kind of like a gut decision.
No, it was an oversight. I think you forgot that he's leading all of baseball in OPS, Ortiz, and
well,
he's the clutchest postseason.
One of the
big
things
poppy
that,
ever.
One of the things that actually played into my decision too is if they do make it to the World Series, I don't think David Ortiz
Ooh,
is really going to play on the
that's
field
a really good
three
point.
Games. You know?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Manny Machado played 45 games at shortstop. All right, I'll let you slide.
See,
so
Francisco Lindor's the backup, but
yeah, Okay, and so you tell me your outfield.
Outfield from left to right, we have Jose Ramirez of the Indians, Jackie Bradley Jr. from the Red Sox, and then Mookie Betts also from the Red Sox.
Okay, so the Red Sox have the number two. Who has the most spots on your team?
You tally the Red Sox, definitely.
So
yeah, Red Sox.
The Red Sox have two outfield spots, right?
Two outfield spots,
first base, the number two starter that you gave them.
Second base also.
And second base, right.
And they're close second in DH.
And
yeah.
They're stacked. It's funny that the Rangers, with the best record, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or do the Indians have the best record? Whatever, the Rangers have no dominant spots, but they're so deep, which is one of the concerns I had about if doing this exercise will prove anything at all, because the Rangers, all you got them at was catcher and maybe number two. But like, they're maybe have the least weak spots. But we'll do your weak team in a moment. I'm going to do my strong team, and then we'll go back to your weak team, and then we'll talk about our general takeaways for if this tells us who's favored.
Sounds good.
So I have Kershaw, obviously, and then Strasburg, because I assume, you know, Scherzer's number one. Right.
But, yeah.
So then if not, then Arrieta. But he may even pitch number three.
Yeah.
And then if he does, then I'll pick probably Arcueto or no, Lester is going to be their number one.
So then yeah,
it would be
Cueto yeah.
or
Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, maybe. But really Cueto, right?
Yeah.
Then the closer is Aroldis. He's the best. Mm-hmm. And it was weird. There were like the Giants, but I thought it'd be easier to find like who I like best for like setup, but because I thought Hector Rondon had done better, but he hasn't. He's been kind of hurt, and so Addison Reed's been really good for the Mets, even though they don't always use him in that role. Like he has 75 innings pitched, and he has like the best WHIP amongst those guys. So I mean, that's fine. But so what this tells me is nothing so far. No team is in the lead except it's cute to have Kershaw. First base, Cubs, Rizzo. Second base, Daniel Murphy. Shortstop.
If he's going to play.
Right. If he's going to play, I know. And if not, then it's Ben Zobrist. Right? I mean, I don't know. Then Corey Seager, who's amazing.
Yep.
And past Brandon Crawford in war. You know. Because his offense has been so amazing. Chris Bryant at third.
Mm-hmm.
Buster Posey catching. Bryce Harper in right field. You know, even though he's having a way worse season, there's nobody.
Highest ceiling.
Yeah, by far. Yoenis in left field, which is the Mets' only best besides Addison Reed.
Wow.
And Trey Turner in center. Yeah, I mean, dude. He's a 919 OPS. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And they only tried him at second, really, and then moved him to center. But it's funny. We'll get to it in a second because my weakest shortstop was the Nationals. I picked Danny Espinosa.
Yeah.
But it's still, like...
Trey Turner's an amazing athlete.
Trey Turner's so good, and he's been killing it. It doesn't matter. Either place, center and shortstop and catcher are the, like, three top defensive positions that you'd be eat a baby to have 919 OPS production out of and good defense.
Yeah, exactly.
So it doesn't matter. So my takeaway from the best is that what we thought, that the Cubs are gods, because with Murphy out, they have four play. You know, they have the best closer, probably the best number two, and you could say, you know, they have three infielders. And the Mets suck. The Mets only have Yoenis, but we knew that.
I would say that, just in my opinion, again, like just to validate what you're saying, I think that it's, you know, the Cubs are number one, but I almost have the Dodgers. I have the Dodgers as the best team to knock off the Cubs. I think they have the best shot of possibly doing that. So they're not that far back to me. And then it's just the whole group of the other teams, like, you know, the Mets, I'm not really that convinced in their success in the playoffs. The Giants are, you know, so.
Well, the Mets, yeah. Well, all right. So do your weak team, and then we'll talk in general and jump back to stuff.
Yeah, sounds
so
good.
Keep
us on track there.
Yeah, you know, that's what I do. I'm the host. We're 15 minutes in, but we're fine. We're great.
Okay, so. We'll start with, I'll do the infield again, and So we're going to go with the platoon tandem from the Cleveland Indians of Roberto Perez and Yan Gomes as catchers.
Ew.
Justin Smoke at first base.
Mm.
Second base, Jonathan Shoop.
Who's walked once in his life. Go on.
Shortstop, Elvis Andrews from the Rangers.
Oh, and he's not bad.
Third base, I put Travis Shaw from the Red Sox, but I know that, like, Yoan Moncada has been playing third a lot for them, but it was really hard to find a bad third baseman out of the bunch from the AL when you have, you know, Adrian Beltre.
Yeah. Who plays third for the Orioles when Manny Machado plays shortstop? I don't even know off the top of my head.
Oh.
But because yeah. You have him at short, so you don't get to have him at I'm going to look up their lineup last night. Keep go tell me about your
sure. So
outfield
my,
or
my outfield, left field, Michael Saunders from the Blue Jays.
Wow, and he was killing it early in the season.
Yeah, his numbers are very deceptive when I kind of dug into them.
How so? Like he's just not as good as you thought?
I mean, yeah, his hitting numbers can be kind of impressive, but his defense is just horrendous. I mean, he's got, you know, an 819 OPS and 117 weighted run created plus, which, you know, both of them are slightly above average for the position, you know, maybe even average. And the thing that's crazy to me is 28.1% strikeout rate. I mean, I just really don't want that in the lineup. You can't play defense and you strike out all the time.
Yeah.
I think that really doesn't have value in postseason baseball.
Yeah, I guess he's got to be the worst because, well, whatever. Who's your center fielder?
So center fielder, this one's a little bit of a shocker, was Adam Jones from the Orioles. And then my right fielder was Lonnie Chisenhall from the Indians.
How did you get to Adam Jones? Who are the other center fielders? Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yep, Jackie Bradley Jr.
What's his name?
Ian Desmond.
Kevin Pillar.
Yeah, and Kevin Pillar is, his defensive metrics are great.
His offense really fell off. He could have been there, huh?
His offense really fell off, but the thing is that Adam Jones' offense has really not been all of that good.
Dude, he's the epitome of, like, a sabermetrically not that great player who, like, has just compiling awesome numbers. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's
not awesome.
League average, 100 weighted runs created plus, and, you know, I mean, I would take Adam Jones on my baseball team almost all the time, but just out of that grouping, I think he provides the least value to his team.
Who's the Indian center fielder?
So they actually have Rajai Davis played there a lot. I don't have the numbers obviously in front of me for that, but I just remember Adam Jones had the lowest WAR by far out of that grouping.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
Tyler Nyquin.
Yeah.
But he has a 896 OPS. Like he played center field for the Indians last night, for example, and he's batting 298. 896 OPS, way better than Adam Jones.
Yeah.
Whose range isn't even that good. Like, he's like, he like fields everything near him. But, all right, so how about your worst ace?
So,
the Orioles, ace, whoever the Orioles ace is.
Yeah, I mean, my number one and two starters, it's, you know, Chris Tillman and Kevin Gausman, and you can use them interchangeably. They're just the worst out of that group. Not even close, really.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, some people, I'm sure that Tillman can put together a good start and keep them in a game. They are going to need to outscore people to be like a legitimate contender, but I'm just not excited about either of them. They really have shown no degree of dominance. I mean, that team has been kept afloat by everything, and the starters have just not really messed it up all of that.
Right. And they've been able to get games to their bullpen and hit enough home runs. It's like with the best signing of the offseason in Trumbo and whatever.
And that's an outlier when you look at playoff baseball.
Oh, because, yeah, they're done. They're screwed. I hate them. Who's the worst closer?
So the worst closer, Sam Dyson of the Texas Rangers.
You know, it's crazy. That was their strength last year, too. Like, their bullpen was so good. Bullpens are so fickle. I mean, it's ridiculous anyway. Mm-hmm. And how about setup or other?
Setup, I think he may have been downgraded from, setup we just said was any other reliever,
not the closer.
So, Junichi Tozawa from the Red Sox. And, I mean, his numbers are just awful. He gives up you know, 1.66 home runs per nine innings, and that's like by far, you know, the worst out of any other, like, you know, setup guy that hasn't been called up and sent down immediately. And that you obviously just don't want your bullpen giving up home runs.
Yeah, I guess after Craig Kimbrel.
But I think that he won't even really come into play in the postseason because, I mean, you know, you're going to take your fourth or fifth starter, who I think was okay, maybe like Eduardo Rodriguez,
yeah,
and put him
so
into the bullpen.
I guess the worst version of the setup guy isn't an exact equation. So, but yeah, obviously the Orioles win this part of it, right? So you say the Red Sox won the AL best tally.
Yep.
And the NL, and the Orioles won the worst tally.
Yep.
So tally it up, and I'm going to read off my team, I guess. Tally both. So my worst catcher, a lot, it's depressingly a lot of Mets. At catcher, it was Rene Rivera or Travis d'Arnaud, even though they've been good. Like, Rene Rivera's been good, but he's definitely the worst because there's Yasmani Grandal. Although, what's his name is out. Wilson Ramos might be out for the playoffs, but still, I don't know. And then who else? Buster Posey, obviously, I'm not picking.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, I forget. But Mets definitely had the worst.
Yeah.
At first base, James Loney and Lucas Duda, the Mets again, because it's Adrian Gonzalez, Anthony Rizzo, Ryan Zimmerman, who's not been that horrible, and Brandon Belt, who made the All-Star game. So it's the Mets again. Second base was easy, actually, that even though T.J. Rivera has been playing for the Mets, who's no name, he's been great, hitting like 340. But it's Chase Utley, Howie Kendrick. And Howie Kendrick's playing left field, and I actually have him as my worst left fielder, so Chase Utley. But in the last, like, 30 days, and on the season, the Dodgers have gotten the worst production out of second base out of any team. And again, it's because of Ben Zobrist and Daniel Murphy, who the hell? I forget, but they're clearly the worst. Shortstop, and this is what I was referencing before, is Danny Espinosa. The Nationals have gotten the worst production out of shortstop of any team. And it's fine that you use Trey Turner in center because he's been so amazing. It doesn't matter. And Danny Espinosa is there for his defense. So it's all good. But they just happen to have the worst because as Drubal Cabrera has had a good season, Corey Seager is godlike. You know, Addison Russell's coming into his own quark. And Brandon Crawford's great. Third base, Anthony Rendon. Again, last 30 days, they're getting the worst production out of this spot. The Giants and Mets saved themselves with Nunez and Reyes.
Yeah,
would have been the Giants with Gillespie or the Mets with whoever. Right field, Jay Bruce, unfortunately, currently, as of today, Jay Bruce. Center field, Jock Peterson or Granderson. It was a toss-up, but I think I have to go with Granderson because Jock Peterson walks a little more, and Granderson's not a natural center fielder. And left field, Howie Kendrick. So, in the field, it's definitely the Mets have the most weak spots.
Yeah, that's kind of expected.
Yeah, because we've had so many injuries. But here's the most depressing part is that I'm a Mets fan. I'm part of the team. I'm on the team, if you guys didn't know.
You're part of the culture.
We also have the number two worst starter, in my opinion, in Bartolo Colon. Because Matt and DeGrom are out, and everybody else, it's Rich Hill, Johnny Cueto, Steven Strasburg, and Arrieta, as we talked about, or Hendricks. So, and the worst ace, I actually, was John Lester, which is amazing that you could have that bad of an ace compared to your Gausman or Tillman, but that's what it is. Syndergaard's better. I'd rather have Madison Bumgarner. I'd rather have Kershaw, and I'd way rather have Scherzer. And John Lester's, I love him. He's had a great season. But that it is what it is. The worst closer is Mark Melancon, faux show, because Familia's good. Who the hell? Kenley Jansen, obviously. Who's the Giants closer? Oh, Santiago Casilla. He even though he pouts when he gets taken out of games. And then the setup is probably the Cubs because the rest of their bullpen's been struggling the most. But clearly, my takeaway from the worst is that the Mets are kind of screwed if there's anything to deduce from this. So what did you get with your tallies?
So for the best teams, this is combining pitchers and position players. So for the best overall team, the Red Sox have four. The Rangers have two. The Orioles have two. The Blue Jays have two. And the Indians have three. So it's, you know, Red Sox, four, Indians, three, and then the rest of them all have two apiece. So it just goes to show, again, like the AL seems to be like a little bit more leveled across the playing field, but for whatever that's worth, you know, because it's like a very ridiculous sample size. But so then for the worst, the Orioles have four, the Indians have three, and then the Blue Jays, Rangers, and Red Sox have two. So it's just, you know, it's sort of just an inverse of the other one.
Yeah, it sort of is. And the Orioles might have five if we, like, looked up the third baseman play out of them recently, but I don't know. So, overall, looking at this, like, that seems to match what your prediction is, right? Everybody seems to agree that on the worst end of that, that lines up with my prediction, is that the Orioles, I think, are pretty clearly the worst team in the playoffs in the AL, right?
Yeah, I agree.
So maybe there is something to deduce out of the worst end of it. How about the best end? Do you think there's any information gained from doing this, or it's just kind of fun?
Yeah, I think it was kind of fun. I mean, I guess, again, this is like somewhat of a common point if you listen to the radio and television, but I mean, the Red Sox lineup is so deep, and to me, the Rangers are also, you know, very good at everything, but I think that their bullpen can and probably will be a big liability, the question mark with the pitching staff. So while right after the trade deadline, I thought that the, you know, the Rangers were very clearly number one.
You loved them. You said it on this show. Tom McLaughlin, love the Rangers.
You know, now I kind of look at it and I think the Red Sox are the favorite, but then right below it, you have the Rangers and Indians. And then I just don't really believe in the Blue Jays or the Orioles.
Right. So, you know, maybe this exercise kind of shows something. Like, again, we know that it shows something, at least as far as it matches with Vegas on the bad end, that we both have the Orioles and the Mets as the teams with the most weak spots in the leagues. And of these 10 teams that, if the playoffs were to start today, would be in, the Mets and the Orioles have the longest odds. So it does show something, because in a sport like baseball, where it's the most individual sport, and yet an individual can't win you a game by themselves, especially at a position player. You know, you need everybody to do their job. And like last year's Royals, a bunch of 85s to Daniel Murphy's 95s, you know, won the World Series because there was not an easy out in that lineup. And their pitching wasn't even that good. Also, what I take away from this exercise is that you hear the rhetoric every year that pitching is what wins games in September, and as we begin to think about how this equates to winning or losing real games, when you have Madison Bumgarner against Clayton Kershaw or Noah Syndergaard, or even like Rich Hill against Arrieta or whoever, it's like those pitchers' skill or that matchup, like Rich Hill versus Bartolo Colon. The fact that Rich Hill is better than Bartolo Colon is important 70% of the line as compared to how deep the lineups are, because when pitchers are good, it just matters so much more. And if you include the bullpen, like we've said, and the point you've made, Tom, probably 80% of the betting line or 75% is made up by a prediction on the pitching that day. So, you know, just tallying the weak spots, some are weighted more heavily than others, right? Like, if you have Danny Espinosa, who's a weak hitting shortstop, but he plays defense fine, and you don't have the weakest number two starter, those weaknesses are not, you know, all equal. And same with strengths. Like, having the best ace in the playoffs is probably a lot more valuable than having the best right fielder, you know, or something like that, because it's not fantasy sports. Dominating a certain slot is not necessarily that valuable. But again, because of the nature of baseball, having the worst at that spot is more harmful than the benefit of having the best at that spot, is how I should phrase it. So you just look at the Mets and you hate them. No, I'm joking, but I am pretty depressed. But I feel like the Rangers or the Indians, even though the Red Sox are going to be favored, and the Cubs, obviously, like the Indians and the Rangers, I love teams like that, like with three great star, like the Giants with three really good starters, two really good starters, in the case of the Rangers, in a healthy Darvish potentially and Cole Hamels, and a bunch of B pluses in the lineup. Like Adrian Beltre is never going to be the best third baseman in this group of third basemen in the AL, but he's friggin' awesome. So I don't know, man. I mean, the Nationals are screwed though, because like we've said, you know, their odds are too long, because it's too high of a price if you want to bet on the Nationals. Because if they play the Dodgers, like you've pointed out, Tom, the Dodgers match up so well, and this exercise again doesn't equate for something like that. So, you know, that'll do it. Cap Figure Podcast Episode 12. Please leave a review. It's already on your iPhone. The podcast app, just even if you didn't like the show, leave a review. It will hurt us. No, I should tell you, it will help us. I'm trying to use reverse psychology. If somebody hates this show and they want to leave a bad review, I will tell you that will hurt us, but really it will help us. So please, guys, just leave a review. We'll read your review on air if you make fun of us or stupid things we say. We're trying to get better. Thanks for listening, but goodbye.